This is a replay of Thursday night, September 25th on WGN Radio. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to talk to you about whatever's on your mind, but not the first hour. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about TV, the things you don't see in front of the camera. All right, now I will say a little true confession here. I think I'm going to spontaneously combust tonight. I'm not sure exactly when, but I'm going. I've told you about some of the problems I've been exhibiting in terms of technical issues. Well, I just discovered one of my transmitter sites is 176 degrees. Yeah, I can barely say the words without losing it. So I'm doing what I can 2 hours away while I try to forget about that entirely. Right, assuming that it may combust before I do, while I do something fun. And what is fun is TV Inside Out, flukes, flakes, feuds, and felonies. And as I was saying last night, and also online with the link to the book, which you're going to want to buy, I don't know how much you know about the behind-the-scenes working about television, but I guarantee there's something in this book that's going to surprise you. And I also guarantee that there's a lot in this book that's going to delight you. So with that, all things willing, if we can manage to pull this off, we go to Randy West, who wrote the book. All right, Randy, how are you?
Raleigh, it is wonderful to hear your voice again. It's been a long, long time.
Yeah, too long, that's for sure. This obviously was a labor of love, Randy, because it's 500 pages. You've probably been planning a while to write this.
Yeah, and I could have written more. The publisher said, put down the pen. Let's stop here. Much too much.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been in television for, well, more years than I want to admit, over 40. And, you know, you see stuff that's just unbelievable. Most of the world is afraid of speaking in public, yet broadcasters just love being in front of an audience and talking and showing off. And when they get backstage, you can find out just how many screws are loose. And the fact that we're talking about this today is particularly interesting because most people know that there was discord, let us say, behind the scenes at The Price is Right with Bob Barker. I worked the show, and everyone has heard at one point or another there was nonsense going on with the models. And what makes this so timely is that Peacock, the streaming channel, is doing a two-hour tell-all documentary about backstage of The Price is Right during the Barker years. It's in production right now. So all of this material, that being just one example, is all timely again. It never goes out of style. People love to hear these stories.
Oh, of course they do. Absolutely. And, you know, I must admit, as you probably know, my aggregate amount of television watching might be 3 whole hours. But, you know, because I didn't own one until I got married. But nonetheless, coming from Los Angeles, I've heard the stories all my life. And John last night said, well, was there anything in the book you didn't know? I said, oh, it's better than that. There's something in the book that Randy has confirmed, and it had been denied by Bob Eubanks for decades. Yes, the woman and her sexual exploits. So let's start with that.
Well, Why don't you start?
No, don't worry about it. If you say anything that we have to bleep, well, we will. But yes, it was over the years, and you've heard all of them too. There are these apocryphal stories about what contestants have said on game shows, and the one that I've never confirmed, and I don't really think is true, was the woman on Password who allegedly, in response to the clue "doe," said "knob," and I'm sure you've heard that too. And if you could have confirmed it, you would have. But with regard to this, like I say, Bob Eubanks said, "Oh no, she didn't say that about her marital escapades."
Right. For years, he denied the story until GSN Game Show Network went through their New Jersey warehouse and found the clip. And he said, I offered to pay $10,000 to anyone who would prove it. Well, now that you've proved it, the bet is off. But the story goes, as you know, and many people might, is, husbands, we've asked your wives, where's the strangest place you ever made whoopee? And I guess the expected answers would be on an airplane, backseat of a car, use your imagination. And the answer that came back from the contestant indeed was, where's the strangest place you've ever made whoopee? In the butt, Bob.
Except it wasn't butt, she said. But yes, that was nicely cleaned up. Now, what I find interesting is if Game Show Network found this, that means it aired.
No, it was an outtake.
Okay.
They had clipped it, but they found it. And GSN did air it by dubbing in the word butt instead of ass.
Right.
Yeah. But, the whole first week of the dating game never aired. The first five episodes that were shot, they used college kids at the very beginning of this show in the mid-60s, and they all went on and started, walking a very tight rope, with usable material. If I were a whistle, would you blow me? all this stuff was not airable in the 60s, and an entire week went into the dumpster. And I asked Chuck Barris, how did you deal with anything starting in week two? He says, I hired a guy, an actor, to come in a three-piece suit and look very stern and said, I'm with the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, and we're the federal government, and you're going to ruin, your future life. You're young. You have a great many hopes and dreams ahead of you. And if you are inappropriate on the show, the government will follow you and you will be fined, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody got nervous and that kind of clammed it all up. But an entire week of production went into the dumpster.
That's so funny that he did that, of course, because later claiming to be in the CIA and everything else, it's just so Chuck Barris.
I
can see him coming up with that.
It's a direct line between those stories. Yeah.
Now, of course, you knew Price's very well, because you were the warm-up guy for a long time, so you got to see it all. And I mentioned I've only seen about 3 hours of television, but of those 3 hours, I fondly remember two things. One, because I couldn't believe it was on the airs. I think it was Jack Nahr's the Queen for a Day thing, which was just unbelievable to me that they were doing that. But I think it was right before that Truth or Consequences was on. And yeah. I thought Bob Barker was the best thing that ever happened because he was, to me, wonderfully acerbic. Just the looks he'd give some of these people were priceless, And then I didn't really catch much of The Price is Right, but he sort of lost that edge. What went wrong?
I think he just submitted himself, handed himself over to this is what the public wants. And the acerbicness existed backstage.
Oh.
And we have a one link of connection here. Rod Roddy was the announcer from 1985 on. And when Rod got ill, I filled in as the announcer starting in 2003, 2004. So besides being on set, I ended up filling, I couldn't fill Rod's shoes, let's not say that.
Oh, yeah.
Filling in for him. So I was backstage with Barker on a daily basis. And yes, there was sexual inappropriateness on that set, not only from him, but executive producers as well. And this will all be in that Peacock show.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
The stuff that we've seen over the years, I mean, where would you even begin to start? I mean, the story most people get crazy about, is it true the Mafia put a hit out on Desi Arnaz?
You're right. Let's go for that. Tell us.
Okay. And it's not only, been passed on story to story. This is part of a congressional record because the guy who handled it, Jimmy the Weasel, Bracciano, went state's evidence. This is in the congressional record.
Yeah.
And the story is there was a book called The Untouchables and written by about Elliot Ness and his taking down of Al Capone during the days of Prohibition. It was a best-selling book, and Desi Arnaz optioned the rights. He did one episode of it as a special, a pilot, so to speak, that aired. And May Capone, Al's widow, called Desi and says, you're going to do this as a weekly show? And he said, yeah. She said, my husband's name has been dragged through the mud way too many times already, and I really suggest for your health that you don't take this undertaking and that you don't follow through with this. And he, said, what, are you crazy, May? He says, this is a best-selling book. I optioned it, but if I didn't and gave the option back, someone else would do it.
Right.
She said, well, then let someone else do it, and you'll be a lot happier. Well, he blew her off. Now, this gets incredible. So May Capone calls Sam Giancana and lays out her heart. This is all in congressional record, and lays out her frustration. Sam Giancana said, well, let's see what we can do to have an intermediary between all the parties here and see if we can pull this off. So who does Giancana call? Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra goes to Palm Desert to visit with Desi Arnaz. They get drunk, they're telling stories, they're having a good time, and then on the way out the door, Frank says, oh, by the way, about this TV show, May Capone, and you came here to lay that crap on me? Desi is upset, thinking it was a personal visit, and now it's turned into a business call.
Right.
He throws Frank Sinatra out. Frank calls Giancana. Giancana calls May Capone. May Capone pushes the button in the vernacular.
Right.
And Fratiano says the plot was hatched. It was supposed to go down on a particular date at Desi Arnaz's house. They were waiting for him. He didn't come home that night. And word got around from the weasel, Fratiano, that the hit didn't happen. And when that word got to other underworld bosses, they called and told May Capone to call it off. Now, this is great. Call off the hit. Why would you call off the hit? Because we don't want to be known as the people who offed Ricky Ricardo.
I knew it. Oh, that's great. That's great.
Never mind Desi Arnaz's life. We don't want to be the guys who pulled it off on Ricky Ricardo. We kill Ricky Ricardo, we'll be, there goes our stock,
That is just the absolute best, and that's why everyone needs to get TB Inside Out, Fluke, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies. And if you go to Rolly.net, Rolly.net, you will get a link to the author's site. That's Randy West, and you can buy it direct, and you can get it autographed and all sorts of things. If you must, you can probably go to Amazon and everywhere else, but I suggest go to the real deal. TB Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies. Get that link. We'll pick it up right there with Randy West on WGN Radio.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
Or maybe that's death. I don't know. I couldn't find a better bumper, though. Yes, it is WGN Radio. I'm Rolly James, and I'm talking to Randy West. Randy wrote TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies, the backstage blunders, bloopers, and blasphemy of celebrities in search of success. And I just think this is so wonderful, Randy, that you got so much of this out, because many of them, as I was saying, are stories that have gone around forever that we really weren't sure. But in this case, everything you've got in this book is something you researched and proved, didn't it?
Because I could be hauled, my ass could be hauled into court. The offspring of people that you feel libeled and slandered can sue you as well. So it's not just about writing about dead people. The offspring can, yes.
No, I hate hearing that, because I always assume once they were dead, I was safe.
No, I learned that from an attorney. So I needed to have backup on backup. And my great defense is, okay, if you want to put me on the stand, I will tell the rest of the story.
Right, exactly. Yes, no, that, yeah. And that does make you suit-proof to some degree, but you don't want to have to go through that. Now,
no, and I haven't. I haven't. Yeah. It's been amazing. Yeah, because it's all true. It's all vetted. It's all clear. It's all been written.
Right.
It's all been told. You know, for example, when I was working at Weakest Link, anyone remember that show? You all the Weakest Link. Goodbye. Yeah, we were doing that at NBC Studio One. Across the hall was Jay Leno in Studio Three. I would see him every day in the hallway, and we would, you know, pal around with each other. And he gave me a bunch of great stories of his friends and comedy, you know, brethren on the road and at the comedy store. There's a comedian who didn't like Mitzi Shore, who delivered his body to her doorstep, jumping off the roof of the Continental Hyatt House.
Oh, God, yes.
Committed suicide, landed right at her front door.
Oh, jeez.
But the funniest part of that, Jay Leno has told me, is the day he got arrested at Hollywood Boulevard. Jay hadn't been a success yet. He was living back east. He rubbed two sticks together and get some nickels and dimes out of a parking meter and drive across the country to try to make a connection with television work in Hollywood. And he was arrested for vagrancy on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, that's great.
They put him in the black and white unit and drove him around while he did the most brilliant hour of observational comedy.
Oh,
you know,
great.
Just driving through the streets, he's making comment about this and that. The cops are laughing on their ass. They let him out. Years later, now he's a success. We're going way, way years later. And they want to give him a star on the Walk of Fame. They said, where would you like it? I want to be in front of the McDonald's at Hollywood and Highland.
Okay.
Well, why would you want to be there? Because that's where I was arrested.
Ah, that's perfect. Yeah, because you normally think, well, that's a little off the beaten path. That's wonderful. I love this. Now, of course, I'm hogging you, Randy. And I should say, for anybody who has any questions, comments, or whatever, 888-876-5593. That's 8888-ROLLYE. And while we go to the news, you trundle over to your computer and buy a copy of TV Inside Out, and we will reconvene in moments right after. After this.
It's Good News Week. Someone's dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky. It's Good News Week. Someone's found a way to give the rotting dead a will to live, go on and never die. Have you heard the news? What did it say? Who's won that race? What's the weather like today? It's Good News Week. Lots of blood in Asia now. They butchered off the sacred cow. They've got a lot to eat. It's Good News Week. Doctors finding many ways of wrapping brains and metal trays to keep us from the heat.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and oh, news is good, too. Yes, TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies, Hedgehoppers Anonymous, of course, and I just spent the last 6 minutes turning off transmitters. Yes, it's like that. And we are talking to Randy West, the author of TV Inside Out. And as I expected, Randy, they're lining up for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it on, Robbie.
All right. So I think we'll start with John in Covington here. Yo, John, welcome back to WGN.
Hey there. Hi, Randy. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Is it true that Tina Louise and the artist Salvador Dali, were they a thing?
Well, I thought you were going to ask whether she really hated being on Gilligan's Island or not. The answer to that is a very definite yes. She would eat lunch alone.
Oh, yeah, I knew that, yes.
Yeah, you know all that. But as far as Salvador Dali, I have heard that, but I have absolutely nothing to back it up. So obvious a story that I can't repeat or try to connect the dots on. But if I did find somebody who did have that information, I'd love to talk with them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
sir.
A couple of episodes where they mention, she mentions his name. It has nothing to do with the episode.
Oh,
right.
Well,
yeah, maybe an episode that they had together. Who knows? You're right. Her artistic.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thank
you. Thanks. Appreciate it, John. All right. There was one thing you confirmed in this book that kind of hurt my heart, because I know Johnny Carson's inside and outside stories, but I was so sorry that the story about Chris's romance that caused him to have a grandchild of color, that he just absolutely forbid Chris to be involved and forbid any contact. And this was a horrible story.
It's unbelievable. Just to get to the point where you're at, Johnny had, you know, three sons. One of them, all of them, I think, were living off of his dime, which is fine. The cash flow was easy, and his son wanted to be a golf pro, and Johnny was supporting him. And he had taken up had an affair with a woman of color, and they had a baby, a biracial baby. When Johnny heard that, yes, you will sever all ties with her. You will never talk to the child. The mother took Carson's son to court, and he was required to pay $500 a month, which is not a lot of money in any decade that we've lived, until the girl was 18. And then there was no contact. When Johnny died, the daughter came out of the woodwork after silence for decades and told her story about, I'm fresh flesh and blood. The estate was $750 million, is what I heard,
right.
And not a nickel.
Yeah, that,
but it was funny, you know, as much as he was withholding, in that case, he gave $100,000 to Danny of Danny's Hideaway, started spending money around to people who didn't ask for any. And a gentleman I worked with, Ray Combs, who used to host Family Feud, a fantastic gentleman, an amazing talent, but went through a series of unlucky, unhappy events that started with a car accident that almost killed him. His life devolved down to nothing until he ultimately did take his life. But as much as we were all saddened by that, and Johnny didn't really know him well, but Johnny wrote the check that enabled him to be buried. The family, he had many, many kids. It was a Mormon family, and they didn't have enough money to bury Ray. He was outrageously generous when he was making money, handing money. He would go up to people on the streets and say, like a panhandler, do you have a dollar? And the guy would say, no, and he'd hand him a $100 bill. You know, so I worked with Ray's son in telling this entire story, and the surprise was Johnny wrote a check that enabled Ray Combs to be buried.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard those stories as well, which is why I just can't fathom why. And you know, like I say, I knew probably all sorts of things about Johnny Carson that would make a book, but you're right, we'd be sued. But that said, it's still, I cannot fathom why he would have done that. And I know there was a time before he had died that the granddaughter had gone out to try and see him, and she was just completely turned away.
Yes, not allowed anywhere near him.
And after the fact, you know, Chris had been down there in Florida. He kind of spent a couple semesters at the University of Miami, and he was trying the golf thing and all that. And as far as I know, he actually had lived with that woman for a while. This was not just like a one-shot thing.
Oh, no doubt. The relationship went on for years, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I hate that he had the moral fiber to just say, okay, Dad. And, you know, because at that point, you know, I would have said, sorry, Dad. But, you know, after Johnny died, you'd think, well, he'll get back in touch. And he never did.
Right. It's amazing. It's just amazing.
It is amazing.
And we laugh at these people. You know, it's the part of these people that we don't see that fascinates me so. And the book is really not just a series of stories, which are fascinating, but there's a through line through the whole thing. Like the book you wrote years ago, which is truly outrageously wonderful as a study of the human condition.
Right.
This is also a study
of
the human condition.
It is.
These are people who spent their whole life trying to find success. And, you know, if I ask you, Raleigh, or any of your listeners, what would success feel? What would that be? How would you know you're successful? Well, the default setting for success is I want a lot of money and I want to be famous. Okay, great. In television, you can get very famous and very rich very quickly. And if that doesn't make you happy, now is when your train falls off the rails. You know, you've got everything you think you wanted, and you're not happy. Now you're really miserable. You start the drugging and sexing and being outrageous. And that's the study here. People who have found what should be life-affirming success And they get crazier than they were when it all started.
Right, right, because they were holding on because they'll be happy when, or they'll be happy if. And then when and if come beyond their wildest dreams. And of course, you know, anybody who was really looking at this from afar would know, well, that's not going to do it. But yeah, it derails people. And you're right. I love that about the book because it's all through that. And it's so true. Okay, Jimmy P. on the South Side has been hanging on, and here I am hogging you, Randy. So let's see what's on Jimmy P's mind. Welcome back to WGN, Jimmy.
Hi, sir. Nice to meet you, Randy, or nice to talk to you. Listen, back in the day, there were rumors on Happy Days that the Fonz and Mrs. C had a thing going off camera. Did you hear any of that?
Jimmy, I've heard that, and I've spoken to Henry Winkler about it. No truth, at least. I also know Donnie Most.
Yeah.
No truth. Yeah.
And also, you've got to have some stories about Richard Dawson and some silly answers on the Family Feud.
Oh, my God. Well, Richard Dawson, when he became successful, he banned the producer of the show from the set. So they used to argue, you know, if I said, name something that's in your bureau drawer, okay, and somebody says necklace, and the answer on the board is jewelry, well, is that a match or not? And Richard Dawson and the producer, Howard Felcher, used to argue over this stuff endlessly. And, you know, Richard wouldn't, sublimate himself to the official judge, so to speak. And his success was so great, he got the producer of the show banned from the set.
Oh, that's great.
And put his daughter-in-law in as the producer.
That's great.
Did Richard marry a contestant on his show?
Yes. Right? Isn't that wild?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well,
they're happily married. They have a kid. It's a wonderful relationship.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Steve Harvey was made for that show. Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, and the only reason I know this is because I'll be on YouTube looking for something else, and there's a million of those clips of Steve Harvey. And that guy, like I say, he was born to do that, I think.
Oh, completely. And, you know, he's so smooth with that he will, when you've watched the show, it doesn't, you know, an hour takes more than an hour to tape with him, which is not the case with some game shows, because he will give alternate takes. For example, you say something stupid, you know, outrageous, crazy, and he reacts and maybe has a comeback line, and then he just stops and does something different as a reaction, giving the editors choices.
Oh, that's great.
I found to be interesting. And then when the commercial breaks come or between episodes, he starts holding a revival meeting. I mean, it's really heavy. It's like being in a Pentecostal church.
Well, that's great.
It's wild. These people, I don't fault him. It's wonderful. He's very much a very positive, motivational speaker, but it's very unusual.
Say the least. All right, so we're talking to Randy West. Hours go by too quick. So TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies. So if you've got other questions, get in quickly. I'm surprised Kristen Greenwood hadn't called because he's always asking me questions. I always say, read the book, and you should too. TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Now, you know some fellas, they want fame and fortune. Yeah, and other fellas, they just want to swing. But all I wanted all my life was a TV set and a truck and a wife and a front row seat to hear old John sing.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Shel Silverstein at his finest. And, you know, I was going to talk with Randy, who, of course, Randy West, who wrote TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies. There's a link at Raleigh.net. Get a copy. You will not be sorry. But about Wranglers, we're going to discuss that because he's got stories there, too. And actually, so do I. But, Randy, we don't have much more time, and I always pledge to let everybody in. So, Linda in Richland Park, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, I wanted to ask your guest about the game show, The Price is Right. They had a young lady, a young black girl. She was beautiful. Her name was Lanisha. And she had to quit working there because she said that Adam Sandler would keep coming in her room, mauling at her. He wasn't doing it, trying to zip her dress or just touch her or whatever. She said she couldn't take it anymore, and she quit. So I wanted to know, I think she sued that company. But I tried to track Lanisha down, and I didn't know her last name, but they said she was in, I think, New York, selling her paintings. So.
All right. What do you know, Randy?
Yeah, Lanisha Cole was a model on The Price is Right, and there was an aura of a hostile work environment, let's put it. It was a sexually charged place. A guy named Michael Richards allegedly walked in on the models when they were nude, changing from one outfit to the other when he should have known that was an inappropriate time. There was ass grabbing, for lack of a better term, and you mentioned Adam Sandler. I don't have any direct knowledge of anything that he did wrong. I'm covering myself legally here, but yes, there was a lot of behavior that was totally inappropriate. And another black lady on that show, a model who was a dear friend of mine, Claudia Jordan, also had to leave. She and I worked together at Price and then again at Deal or No Deal, and she had an ordeal working Price, and she's part of this tell-all Peacock two-hour documentary that's coming.
All right. Now, do you know where Lanisha is now in New York?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. All right, Linda, thanks for the question. Talk to you later. All right. So good stuff. Now, let's see. Robert is in Stickney. So, Robert, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh. I was wondering if your guests would know, Jack Parr was on The Tonight Show before Johnny Carson, even. I was wondering if he knew or he could give us some of the backstory of when Jack Parr absolutely walked off of his TV show live and he was gone.
There must be a better way to make a living. He disappeared, and it was Jonathan Winters who said to him, you know, most people who watch you would love to have your position in life, as frustrated as you are because they edited a joke that you thought didn't need to be edited. Most people will have no sympathy for you. So get back on that TV show. Jonathan Winters said, get back. And he did. And, of course, his first words back were what I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted. And Jimmy Kimmel, who just came back, used the same line, which most people were not aware of, but it's a great throwback to Jack Parr.
Yeah, all right.
Wow, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of talk show hosts, I've read your book, and I don't remember if I read about this in it or not. I wouldn't be surprised if I did. And that was Dick Cavett having Rodale on, proclaiming that he was going to live forever and dying during the commercial break.
The man died during the commercial break, gave out a last gasp, and everyone says they remember seeing it, but
no.
Dick told me that show never aired.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too, that it never aired, and I figured if it did, you would have had that in there.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was mentioning Wranglers before, and you do mention them in your book, and anybody who grew up in L.A. had encountered this more than once, because we think, like Shel Silverstein wants a front row seat to hear old Johnny sing, there are days and nights when it's not so easy to fill that whole audience, and my favorite was the guy who actually was getting them from prison. So what do you got for me on Wranglers?
Well, they paid audience people to come in, and before they were actually just paying them, they were bringing people from rehab centers and from prisons. And I was doing warm-up on a show called Pictionary, where the audience, they were all but wearing stripes with chains around their ankles.
Uh-huh.
It was so obvious. And in my frustration, because they don't cooperate, they don't laugh, they don't applaud, they're just there taking up space. And in my frustration, I said, this isn't an audience. It's like night court, and we're all waiting for our case to be called.
Okay.
Which didn't endear me to the audience, but the crew laughed louder than anything I'd ever heard before in my life.
Oh, I'll bet. But, you don't realize that on these shows that are on, especially the strip shows that are on for 5 days a week or whatever, John says, I'm not only hogging you from the guests, I'm hogging you from the news. Randy, can we do it again?
I'd love to, Raleigh. Wonderful talking with you.
Likewise. Thanks for writing TV Inside Out, Flukes, Flakes, Feuds, and Felonies. We'll do it again.
Have a great night.
Good deal. All right, that's where we'll pick it up next hour right here on WGN Radio.
There is something, baby, about you that's really attracting me. Yeah. And your sweet love, darling, really got a hold. Falling, falling, but what can I do?
to fight. Listen to me, baby, too weak to fight, yeah. You're breaking down my health, girl. Can't eat and I can't sleep. Oh, no. I tried to turn you loose now, but your hook is in too deep. Oh, yeah. My resistance is getting a little low, and I've got to find a cure.
WGNA. I'm Raleigh James. Clarence Carter, 1968 Atlantic. Too weak to fight. Yeah, pure muscle shows all the way. Rick Hall produced, and of course it was done at his Fame Studios, Florence, Alabama. Music Enterprises, don't you know? All right, so there you have. Brian and Joliet wanted to hear it, and now he has. Yeah, I think, in fact, John came in here during the news and said, you know, I don't know if you're going to spontaneously combust, but I might. It's like that. Yeah, so it's 106. When I saw that it was 176 degrees in one of my transmitter rooms, John said, is it on fire? I said, no, it's not on fire. And so, because I got cameras too. But one by one, I realized I got to sign stations off the air and turn off anything I can, because apparently we have found the culprit, the generator for the ACs. It has its own generator, of course. It's tested weekly. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, until there is, of course. The battery has died somehow. We don't know how. So, unfortunately, the last couple of days, we've had power off more than on. Yes, rural America, don't you know? So in the meantime, in some ways, this show is a good distraction. In other ways, well, we'll see. Don and Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How's it going? I take it your generator is supposed to kick on at a certain temperature, and
No, it didn't. It's supposed to kick on the second that the power is off. And see, that's the problem, the power. And, you know, I think I mentioned it on the air. I noticed yesterday one of my readouts was saying it was 119 degrees. So I immediately sent someone up there that, you know, was in town. And, you know, cool as can be. What didn't occur to me was that the readout probably was stuck at 119 because it was earlier in the day. See, the power was back on when he was there. So now, this evening, the power's been off all evening. And so the generator for the equipment is just fine. And so that generator's, you know, pumping the transmitters and everything else, but suddenly the transmitters start to fail, you know, like they're hiccuping and they're going on and they're going off. And it's like, I wonder why that would be. And so I look at a probe and 176 degrees, what? So send somebody else up there and determine that, yeah, for whatever reason, you know, I used to say Florida Power and Light was the world's worst power company. I was wrong. APS, Arizona Public Service, is the worst power company. And so it's still off for reasons that who knows.
You know, a lot of this stuff is all online. You know, I've studied this quite a bit for different regions and so on. And you might be onto something, but you can study your area like EIA or somewhere, you can find all these different, you know, how long it's actually been off for.
Absolutely. Thing. Yeah. Well, it's off all right. So that's the deal.
Sorry.
But this is interesting. Looked on the website just when you were talking, and it says three outages, 48 customers affected. No, they don't even have a mark on their website where we are.
You know, that's not good. Not good.
They clearly know about it, I am sure, but we just don't rate anybody bothering to mention that, oh, yeah, there's no power in parts of globe.
I'm just curious, how often do you test your backup generator?
Every week.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Wow, excellent.
And I service them every quarter. And again,
how long can it run on a load of fuel?
Days.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I always check, you know, because the tests are usually the only thing that are eating up the fuel, you know, at length, unless we're having outages. And whenever we have a long outage, of course, the first thing I do is look, what's the propane level? Get something in here.
I know you would like this story, and I always like going back to stories, and I saw this like three or so weeks ago, this big merger, and I thought you'd be interested in it with all the, I just haven't called you in so long. But this SpaceX merger with this, you know, broadband to bail out this EchoStar. Uh-huh. It's a really interesting story that benefits both companies, I guess you'd say. $17 billion. SpaceX buys $17 yeah. billion worth of satellite spectrum from EchoStar, who's been not going to be able to, you know, a lot of debt, you know, decades of debt, and can't pay its last loan kind of payment kind of thing for something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I know a lot. I don't personally use I don't use Starlink, but I probably will pretty soon. Several of my friends use it, and it's just going on and on about, you know.
Well,
it's so great.
It's got its good points and it's got its bad points, to tell you the truth. For one thing, it can be very portable, which is nice. But let me tell you, it's still in 90% of the case or more, not synchronous. So your upline streams are not good. You know, your speed going up is not good. The other thing is I still consider it to be an unacceptable ping time. And it is, you know, it's nowhere near what other satellites further up are, but still, it's problematic. It's a work in progress, and I think it will do very well. Yeah. But at this point in time, it doesn't make sense for me to use it. But yeah, their valuation is about $400 billion in share sale. So they're gonna, you know, raise the money, sell insider shares, and that will do it.
I didn't realize EchoStar had its own 10 satellites. I didn't know that.
That's not what's important to the deal. It's
right.
It's the spectrum space.
Exactly. That's where that's when I saw that, I thought of you, Raleigh.
Yep.
I knew you'd like to see that.
Yep.
For 5G kind of connectivity.
Yeah.
So, well, it's interesting what you said, because like people that, let's say I know that have a bunch of kids in their house with different, you know, 2 dozen, 3 dozen devices, and they're streaming movies.
Right.
That's all downloading. You know,
yes.
That'd be good for that. But if you're talking to your buddy in Asia,
you'll still be okay. But I'm just very pesky about things being symmetrical, and you know. SpaceX has tried to buy out others, but believe me, it's not just that, of course. And they do get better and better. And I have heard reports that some people say, no, the ping is not affecting gaming. I'm like, the hell it's not. But, you know, maybe everybody they're playing against is on some lousy broadband connection where the ping time is worse. I don't know. It'll get there. So, you know, if you looked at SpaceX's value a couple of years ago, it was half of what they're talking about, hitting $400 billion in the buyback. So, you know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea, and it would be nice if it kept some of the terrestrial players more on their toes. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, mm-hmm. but this was one of the quietest mergers I ever ran into, and that's May 16th. It was announced that Charter is buying Cox, and you know, broadband, all that, and very little coverage on that. Now it'll take till next year for this to, you know, be complete. But I thought, oh my God, the bad is bought by the worse, and you know, there you have it. But keep in mind that all of these players who have had virtual monopolies, because for the most part, when you've got that franchise, you know, unless your local power company is doing something or what have you, and they'll fight that as much as they can, but you don't really have competitors. Well, now, you know, 5G is a myth. Anybody who thinks that's real, it's real if you're in a very, very dense population area. But see, there's three forms of 5G. There's high, mid, and low band. And band is ridiculous. But rural areas, that's what they're saddled with, like, you know, L600s, N600s. That's what they get.
This H block advanced wireless spectrum.
Yeah. So there's all that.
15 and 1920 megahertz for 5G and 4G.
Right. Well,
what you're referring to is exactly on the minds of like almost everybody in my area, because everybody in Wisconsin essentially is stuck with spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And spectrum was great. I got a great deal of spectrum about 3 years ago, and now it's like that bait and switch. What I pay now is just
let me tell you something. As bad as it might be, I never worry, by the way, about what you pay. I just don't. I worry about what I get, and that's where my issues are with them. And Spectrum, of course, is Charter. And if you go back far enough. They were so much worse. I can't begin to tell you how much worse. And when Dr. Malone got in there with Liberty, it actually comparatively, quality-wise, got better. But, you know, taking over Cox, well, that'll put them as far as the cable world itself, broadband world itself, you know, bigger than Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Comcast has NBC and all that kind of stuff, but we're not going there. But the bottom line is it'll make them huge. And,
on the cable TV, they're getting cable TV.
Well, yeah,
cable
doesn't mean anything. Yeah, but cable doesn't mean anything. Nobody really wants it. Nobody wants cable TV any more than, the phone companies want landlines. You know, it's a thing of the past. The cord cutting is just enormous. What they want, of course, is to be the broadband provider. And as I say, in many cases, they have the franchise. But when you put a SpaceX in the mix and you're starting to see some municipalities allowing some fiber startups to come in there, suddenly these people are saying, you know, we've got some competition. That should make things better. But when they merge, it usually makes them worse. But, today I had a go in with
more fiber
Cox.
Is a great idea. That's a great idea for towns. If your town's doing that, America, that is a great town that you live in.
Well, it should be all fiber all the time. And not to be political, but there's a woman, Marsha Blackburn, who is in Congress. She might be a senator now, I don't know, or a representative. She's the one who single-handedly stopped EPB, world's best broadband, owned by the Electric Power Board in Chattanooga, from expanding. So they were willing to wire the rest of the state. And what happened was Comcast, AT&T, et cetera, all filed suit saying, you know, you're the government. You can't compete with us. And she, at the time, was a state official, was in the power to stop it. And she did. So now you have towns literally near Chattanooga that have no service. Do they have a franchise? Yeah, they might have a charter franchise, but it's dark. No one's lit it up. It's not there. And they're not letting EPB come in. EPB is allowed to provide wherever they're providing electricity. And the reason they got so great is... When they went to smart meter instead of being smarmy wireless, they put fiber to the house of every and building of everything they served with power. So they are just amazing, and
they combine it with smart meters.
That's clever. They refuse to go wireless, which is what most of them do, and you know all the problems with that. So in any event, it's brilliant. And so you can get a gig symmetrical for about $75, and it doesn't fail. The ping time is 1 millisecond. When I saw that, I thought I was reading it wrong. So, you're outside of their power footprint. They're not allowed to provide it, even though they'd love to. So... You know,
for certain customers, I you're right. Being portable has a lot of advantages. You just grab your Starlink and go in your camper or whatever.
Exactly.
That's certain advantages for somebody that's active. Maybe I don't know. By the way, could would you mind playing the Marsha Ball song sometime in the next week?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's cool.
All right, I'll write it down.
Well, I was just thinking about you. When I saw that Starlink information, I was like, I better get a hold of Raleigh.
Yeah, and
that.
And good.
It took me a few weeks to get over.
No, and good for them. I hope that that they'll continue to develop, because they'll get to a point where they are symmetrical, and they'll get to a point where the ping time is better, and then it's going to be very hard for any of the terrestrial providers to compete. All right.
Yes.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you. All right.
And what I'm seeing actually is almost boutique startups, which is nice. Small companies that are providing a power footprint to a fiber footprint to a small area, and what they emphasize is great customer service, and they've got it. On the other hand, oh my God, it's a good thing you weren't witnessing me earlier today trying to deal with Cox. Oh dear God. But anyway, it's not over. While I'm on the air, something's working for the moment. It's a familiar story. If you ever go online and look at the forums and stuff, you know, people who, you know, it used to be that used car salesmen were considered the worst in terms of integrity and quality and all those things. Oh, no. providers for broadband fiber optic, they're pretty much the bottom of the barrel. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh, enough of that inside stuff. We have a ton of great stories, and that is because of Engineer Bob, who comes up with some wonderful things. And now, Pop-Tarts just brought back a top-tier flavor, and I thought to myself, that's an oxymoron. No, this does not compute. Pop-Tarts had a top-tier flavor? Well, we'll find out what it is, and we got 50 things to get rid of around your house, too. And your calls, if you'd like to, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
He can walk and stroll in Susie Q and do that crazy hand jive too. Papa told Willie, you'll ruin my home. You and that hand jive has got to go. Willie said, Papa, don't put me down. They're doing that hand jive all over town. Way out, Willie gave him all a treat. And when he did that hand jive with his feet.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there you have it. Yes, Willie and the Hand Jive, and a fine song it was. Yes, right there. I was writing a flame letter to the power company. Yeah, it's. I do think it's possible to spontaneously combust, and I'm pretty sure that that it could happen. So stay tuned. Better yet, call and distract me. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Now, like I say, Engineer Bob is terrific. He gives me all these links, and there was one. He asked me if I had actually tried the top tier flavor, and I had to let him know that I have never tried Pop Tops. They don't look like anything I'd enjoy, to say the least. Yeah, I don't like things that are sweet for the most part. But apparently, they say the iconic toaster pastries, yes, two to a pack, have a wide range of regular flavors, blue raspberry. I didn't think blue occurred naturally in nature when it came to food. And frosted cinnamon roll to frosted chocolatey chip pancake. I'm sure they test these too, but they started in 1964. And yeah, when they only offered four flavors. Yeah, I remember when they came out and I thought at the time, no. And it's been like that ever since. But over the years, because now we're looking at a lot of years here, 61 years, they've churned out new flavors, some of them that don't last forever. Sometimes they discontinued because you didn't like them. But other times, God knows what, and they bring them back. Now, this one, I consider this one a diet aid. And the reason I say that is not because they are low calorie, but because when I read what they were, I thought, I don't want to eat anything ever again. I just don't. Yeah, limited edition. God knows it's a good thing. That's right. The limited edition frosted marshmallow hot chocolate, featuring a chocolate pastry packed with a creamy marshmallow filling and topped with sweet frosting and small chocolate bits. Oh, man, Eli Lilly must be sponsoring this. Yeah, that's right. The sale of insulin is going to go through the roof. And apparently, they reintroduced the flavor in 2024, but this is an updated version. Yes, eliminating the chocolate bits for a smooth vanilla frosting and rich cocoa flavor. Fans instantly devoured it. Yes, they taste delicious. Okay, then. And, obviously it's there and people are selling. Fortunately, it is a limited time. I say fortunately for your health. But yes, back for a limited time in case you, you wanted a sugar fit. All right, then we also have habits. Yes, 50 things to get rid of around your house. And I always love these because I'm a little too much of a pack rat. And I think to myself, I have a list of things I should get rid of. But, you know, I'm sure XLR cables is not on this list. I'm just sure of it. That's right. Yeah. And stuff of that nature. Yeah. Clothes you haven't worn for over a year. The hell with that. I bring them back from decades ago. Shoes that hurt your feet. Well, you know, why do you keep them anyway? Yeah, accessories you'll never pair with anything. Yeah, mismatched socks. I admit I don't have any of those, fortunately. I know the dryer occasionally will eat a sock. I don't know where they go. But on and on it goes. But yeah, I absolutely disagree with clothes you haven't worn in over a year. Yeah, wait long enough, they come back in style. All right, Johnny is in Austin, and he's saving me at the moment, and I am thrilled about that. So, Johnny, welcome to WGN Radio.
I thought you might want to hear from me.
Yes,
how are you doing?
Absolutely. I'm gonna combust. It's gonna happen.
I wanna know. Well, first of all, I wanna thank you for playing the Manhattan Transfer last night.
Oh, of course.
Soul Food to Go.
Yes, my pleasure. From the Brazil album.
That.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you like that song?
Oh yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's not a favorite, but I certainly wouldn't turn off the radio.
Well, I certainly didn't.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention a song that I heard, but that I really liked recently, and I had never heard it before. I can't remember what station I heard it on, but you might know it. It's called Wash and Wear Love by Lynn Vernet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I that record's on KJ.
That's where I heard it. I was just teasing you.
All right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's
that
a great song.
That kind of sounded like Southern Soul. It sounded a lot like Denise LaSalle kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it's not. No, absolutely.
Where did you find that song?
You know, it's on a 45 when I was going through things, and I was just looking to see did I put it on this computer, and no, I didn't. That was terrible. I should have. But yeah, Wash and Wear Love, of course.
It was. But I looked it up, and it didn't appear to be that old.
Well. It was on, yeah, because it was on Gator, wasn't it? It's a yellow label with an alligator on it. So yeah, that's
it is from the south somewhere.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of those labels where it's just like, who are these people this week? But and who's Lynn Varnado?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I said I've got to find this, and actually, it's on Spotify.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, then it must be on a CD then. But it was out in the UK too on Soul City. That is, you know, Ian Levine's label. So it must have been a northern soul hit as well. So
it sure reminded me of the style of Denise LaSalle though.
Yeah, her name was Aileen Vernado, and she has a son who's a rapper.
Really.
Yeah.
Well, so what year you think
73,
that song came
I think
out
73.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then I should have known it, but you know.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, you should have, but you know, it's on Gator. You know, let's get back to that again. And it's she co-wrote it, so you know, I would doubt that Gator had great distribution, and
did it chart? I didn't ever try to look it up.
I don't think so. But there's other Gator records like Brenda George, I'm Not Trying to Make You Pay. But that might be it, actually. Maybe a couple Lynn Vernettos and Brenda George. But so, you know, the question really is, who was Gator Records in the 70s? And because the label, I've got the label, obviously. It's a yellow label, and it's distributed by Kent Records. And that was Los Angeles. And I've got an address, 5810 Normandy in L.A., which I know just where that is. You know, who are these people? Miles Grayson might have been the guy for that. I'm not sure, but that's what I'm thinking.
Well, you mentioned Kent Records here. the Kent Records when I was at KYOK in 66 released B.B. King, Eyesight to the Blind.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. You remember that?
Yes. Yes,
and
I,
so
absolutely.
Kent was out of L.A.?
Yeah, the Beharry Brothers. It was part of that whole thing. And a subsidiary of Crown. It was the follow-up to Modern, because Modern went out of business in 58. And B.B. King had been on Modern. So Kent had like Ike and Tina Turner and ZZ Hill and some Johnny Otis and all that stuff. And then Modern came back in 64. And Kent would continue to release singles. But Ace in England bought it. So sometimes you'll see that Kent imprint now from the UK. And that's why. And they added other stuff to it. But they release Northern Soul on Kent. So it was originally the Beharry Brothers. But now it's UK stuff. Ace. And Ace
I
is pretty good.
Maybe I might be wrong about this. But wasn't... I mean, I've generally got a pretty good photographic memory. We'll see. What when you talk about Modern Records, was that what the iCats were on?
Yeah, of course. That's what I mean. Well, so was everybody else. Modern was great. You know, the Beharry Brothers at their finest. So yeah, absolutely. And you know, there were a lot of them. They had several labels.
So. Speaking of soul music, do you remember the two songs by the Soul Sisters on? The Juggy Murray's label, Sue. They were on
yeah,
Sue record.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I loved Sue.
I Can't Stand It. I Can't
yeah,
Stand
right.
It was the biggest one. And then A Good Time Tonight was their follow-up.
Yeah, absolutely. I Can't Stand It was wonderful.
You want to play it?
If I can find it. I was just putting it in. Do I have it on this? I don't know. You know, I've got Bobby Womack. I Can't Stand It. Let's see.
Whoa, Bobby yeah. Womack's. Oh, I can... What's Bobby Womack? I Can Understand It?
No, let's see. Baby, I Can't Stand It. But let's see what I'm looking for this here.
We're looking for...
Yeah, Eric Clapton.
We're looking for the Soul Sisters.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, here we go. What's this? What are you? Speak to me, Rick. Yep, here they are. I found it.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
I'll play it as the next bumper. But yeah, you don't know Bobby Womack, Baby, I Can't Stand It. We'll play that too.
He did a song called I Can Understand.
I know,
it.
No.
I do. Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Let me okay, let me let you hear some of this and you know.
I can't stand it. Oh, standing no longer. Your love.
Yeah, you remember that, don't you?
I don't.
Oh, it's fine.
It keeps growing stronger. Oh, yeah. Oh! It's like a yitzin in my heart. Oh,
but yeah, one of the Beharry brothers, by the way, went to Memphis, and that's the one who set up Meteor Records, and that was the Ike Turner connection there. But they also had RPM Records and Flair,
okay.
And of course Modern. So yeah, was it Julius who went to Memphis? I think so, but in any event, there was Joe, Saul, Lester, Lewis, Julius. Yeah, there were a bunch of them.
Bobby Womack is a big favorite of mine.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of his product I don't know, but I've got a two-sided greatest hits of his, and I think, well, going back to the days of the Valentinos around 1961, that song I'll Make It All Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was so good. And then when I was at KYOK in 72 or 3, the Greater Zion Baptist Church Choir made it
uh-huh.
for a gospel song.
Uh-huh.
Remember? You played it one night.
Yes, I
actually.
Did.
Yeah. And it was the same song, except they made a gospel hit
right.
out of it.
Right. Well, there's usually a connection.
Wow. I want to thank a lot of your listeners who have emailed me.
Oh, who are listening on Sunday nights to soulofthecity.net.
Thank you very much. Soulofthecity.net, greatest hits of soul and R&B, play from 6 to midnight Central Time. I hope your listeners tell other listeners about it, because it's growing an audience thanks to you.
Well, thanks to you. They like what they hear. So this Sunday night, what are we going to hear?
You just caught me. Well, let me see something. I've been working on these legendary soul DJs.
Yeah.
And if everything, you know, you got to put all this in the system and everything. But if everything goes right, some of the some of the famous DJs that are hopefully going to be on there would be the intro to Hunter Hancock's Harlem.
Okay.
Bandstand.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. Al Benson.
Oh yeah. Well, that's local.
And my friend Walt Love, who listens to the show, yeah. Walt Baby Love, he listens yeah. Every Sunday. I got a tape of him from CKLW.
Okay.
And Jocko Henderson.
Oh, hang on a minute. Don't okay. go away. I'm going to blow the break. Say where you are, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there it is, the Soul Sisters, and that's, I Can't Stand It. And, Spencer Davis Group did that as well, and has learned a number of things. Smokey McAllister wrote it, and we're talking to Johnny Goen, and we were talking about Hunter Hancock a moment ago, Hunting with Hunter, and Harlem Matinee, and Harlem Holiday, and all that kind of stuff. And hang around, Johnny, we're going to go to the news, and after that, I want to hear more about this Sunday night.
Thank you.
All right, good deal. So that's where we'll pick it up. And then we have another hour of whatever is on your mind. We'll have David in Muskegon, Eduardo in Tampa. We've got Ruth in Gurnee. But like I say, we got Johnny. Yeah, Johnny Goen, soulofthecity.net. And that would be this Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight Central Time. So that's where we'll pick it up. We have plenty to talk about. And maybe some other stuff that Smokey McAllister wrote. Yeah, you'd be fascinated to know what some of the more coming up on WGN Radio.
There are lines on life to show you the way to say goodbye. There are signs in life to comfort the love that wonders why. But there's no lines that come to me, and there's no signs that I can see. Upon your face when the light is in your hair.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is Masquerade. It's from a Sergio Mendes album from 1969, Yay Mille, which, by the way, means absolutely nothing. Yeah, Sergio Mendes had been asked about that many times, and it has no meaning whatsoever. It's a chant from some, you know, language, you know, some native language that they just used to make the song sound better. And actually, Elise Regina has a good version of that as well. So Johnny, it was Johnny's request, so back to Johnny Goen. How about that?
Their music just puts me in a happy faraway place for some reason. I can't, you know, it's one of those groups that just, their music just does something to you that you can't really verbalize what it is, but it's kind of a very peaceful kind of place. It's just, I love their stuff. But that song right there, I'd forgotten about for a long time, and it took me some searching on eBay to find that on, I found it on a two CD set.
Okay.
I had a bunch of their other CDs, but nothing with Masquerade on it. So enough of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, while you were mentioning the Sunday night show that I do, soulofthecity.net.
Yes.
Those listeners who, because I've had your listeners email me and say, are they archived? Are there archives of the show? And they're not. I'm not able to do that.
Right.
But if you're listening on Alexa or on a Grace or Sea Crane internet radio, the way to hear that show, you've got to go to HoustonRadioPlatinum.com.
Exactly.
That's the mothership of the show.
Right, and it's easy to get. When you go there, that show will come right up. If it's Sunday night between 6 and midnight, there you are.
I really appreciate that.
So now, okay, you were mentioning Hadmore Hunt, Hunting with Hunter Hancock, yes.
Yeah.
So
and
good.
I was talking about Al Benson on WGES.
Yeah. Oh,
from,
yes.
55.
Oh,
55.
Good. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And he did a lot of his commercials were live.
Well, of course. No, I mean, again, remember, he was buying the time. So anything you hear him advertising is money that was in his pocket. And that, again, he was originally Al Leaner. He'd been a preacher and all that. Well, you can't be a preacher and sell commercials. He said, then I'll be Al Benson and play secular stuff and sell commercials. And like I say,
well, he was on this WGES radio station. Does that still exist, I guess?
Well, yeah, but not doing that.
No.
Yeah. no. You know, as far... but... well, GES exists. It doesn't exist at WGES. You know, it became Winner. You remember that,
yeah.
WYNR. In fact, Dick Kemp, the Wild Child, who'd been very big after that in Cleveland, was on that. And Winner also had Yvonne Daniels and a bunch of things like that. But today, that 1390 is WGRB, and it's urban gospel.
I see.
So, but
also got I should have Jocko Henderson on there.
Yeah,
he was good.
Yeah,
and big Jim Randolph from KGFJ, I think that should be on there. And this guy was really very unique. Purvis Spann, the blues man.
Oh, of course,
man,
of course.
WBON.
Oh, of course. Yeah, again, Chicago royalty. GES, by the way, stood for World's Greatest Electrical School.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it originally, like many things that started out in the early 20s, it was in a hotel. I think probably to take advantage of that bathtub-cooled transfer, but regardless, a guy bought it who had an engineering school, and it was interesting because the studios in the Oak Park Arms, Ray Kroc played piano there, and then it later got moved to the Guyon Hotel on the west side and all of that, and you know, it of course, like everything else, it changed frequencies a number of times, so but when NARBA happened, the agreement that changed everything in 41, it went to 1390. And so that was,
I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, but there's an artist I discovered, and his music looks like it's been around for at least 5 years, and he does a lot of remakes, and I'm not much of a remake person unless you're really good at remaking a great song. This guy is very, very good, and his name is Pepe Marquez.
Sure.
Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Well... he does this what's called an old school medley of Suavecito, Just
yes.
My Imagination, Crystal Blue Persuasion, Too Late to Turn Back Now,
yes.
and finishes it up with Suavecito, and it's on YouTube. If any of your listeners want to look at it, it's got an 11-second gap before anything starts playing, so I don't think it's the fault of your internet.
And he's got he's got a website too. You can check him out, and La Cima Music, absolutely. And
he also did You Got the Makings of a Lover.
I know, absolutely. What, isn't that a wonderful song?
Yes. And he also redid a version of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On with a message on the beginning of it, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's good stuff. Absolutely, I'm aware.
I was talking about Teddy Pendergrass a couple of weeks ago when I talked to you. I was not aware that his song, When Somebody Loves You Back, was never a single.
Right.
I always thought it was a single all these years, and it wasn't. You know the song, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You could play that for me if you like.
I could. I could play the festivals, too. You know, you got to make a dilemma, so.
Well, I don't want to go too far. Oh, and one more thing. Speaking of Bobby Womack, he did, I don't know if you like it or not, a great version of California Dreamin'.
Yes, I played that before. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah. I think I'll play the festivals. I always like that, since you brought that up. That's a wonderful song.
What was that, about 67, maybe?
Yep, exactly 67 on Smash.
I didn't know it was on Smash.
Yeah, it's on Smash.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for all the positive comments you made about the show I'm doing. And thank you for putting it on your blog. And thanks to you, your listening audience, who's taking the time to reach out to me, and they got some numbers back from the streaming service that Houston Radio Platinum was on, and I was the number one rated show on the station.
I'm not the least bit surprised.
Yeah, I had like 10 people. No, I'm kidding. It was a lot more than that.
Yeah, well, you know, after a while, they'll probably look at you and think, well, I don't know, he's eating up a lot of bandwidth here.
Exactly. And one more thing before I go, your transmitter, you said it's heated up. Is it because the transmitter's not on now? It's in a building with no AC, right?
What happened? And I should have noticed it yesterday. Yesterday I noticed that one of my temperature gauges said it was 119 degrees. So I immediately sent a friend over. No, it's 71. I said, okay. Now, at that point, I should have stopped what I was doing and said, now, wait a minute. You know, and of course, APS doesn't give you outage histories easily. But I didn't. I just thought, oh, well, some kind of glitch or whatever. Well, today, I was sitting there eating dinner. And actually, our morning guy called and said, man, the station's like going on and off. And I'm like, going on and off. Now, it should have clicked right then, but I finished dinner and I took a look, and I basically recycled the transmitter, nothing. And then while I was looking at another transmitter, which actually puts the temperature out in degrees right in front of my eyes on its homepage, It said 135 degrees. And I said, let me go back to that temperature gauge, which said 119 yesterday. Well, it was saying 174. And at that point, I realized I have a problem. So, of course, I turned up both transmitters to save them. And called my buddy, who, thank God, at first we couldn't find him. And John thought he'd have to drive there 2 hours to check it out. And fortunately, no, he picked up the phone. And so John sent him over and he said, man, it is so hot in here. You know, I can't even touch anything. Okay. Now, the thing I said, well, you know, before you leave, touch one thing for me. Go to the circuit breakers and make sure there's nothing that's been tripped. And there hadn't been. Uh-huh. And so I said, now, when you go out, go out to the generators and tell me, because I've got a generator for the ACs, just for the ACs, and I've got a generator for everything else. I said, now, by the way, is the power off? He said, oh, yeah, power's off again. You know, it's APS. So, go to the generators. And so he went to the generators, and when he tried to start the generator that powers the ACs when the power is out, it would not flip over. So, probably a dead battery. But again, what's strange about this is we do tests every week, and we had a service less than 3 months ago, so should not have happened, but it did. Now the generator guy is more than an hour away, but we got him on the phone, rattled his cage, and he said he'll go over tomorrow. So when power's back now from the power company, so I assume that you know, things are a little cooler. When they get down to a reasonable temperature, I'll turn those transmitters back on until tomorrow, and we'll see what happens.
Could that have damaged anything?
Of course it could have. Of course it could have. Whether it did or not, I don't know. And I've got other equipment that is still connected, and I like the Sage Index and things like that, you know, EAS stuff and all that. Not that it matters, because there's nothing on the air now, but I haven't turned those off. But we'll see when the dust settles. The problem with APS is that they installed a new plan, don't you know?
And this is
a for-profit power company, the worst in America. And so anyway, they installed a program a while ago. I think after they saw how much California Edison took it for starting wildfires and stuff. Anytime they think there was a danger of wildfire, they turn your power off for a while. So I know, isn't that? And that, they tried to sell this as a quality feature, you know, good for the community. Did not fly with us on the air. But anyway, I don't know whether this was a forced turn off, you know, or whether this was something that failed. They have lousy redundancy, so I just don't know. And you know that I'll have some words with some people later, but right now power's back on, and we just got to go with that and get everything back together. And yeah, and that's in the middle of a broadband hell, which I won't belabor on the air. But it's just like I say to John, I'm going to spontaneously combust. It's going to happen. So we'll see.
Well,
all right.
2 hours away, there's not a heck of a lot you can do that you haven't already done.
Well, right. And see, like I said, I can't go back tomorrow myself because I got to be at the retinologist in the morning, and I got to wake up early for this, no less. You know, so...
Getting up for early appointments is hell.
It is hell. And all this week, I haven't been sleeping much anyway because I've had various snafus and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting. I think tonight when I get off there, I'm going to write down my questions for the retinologist because probably tomorrow morning, I will not know where I am.
No, you won't.
Yeah, exactly.
Not if you're like me.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, I enjoyed talking to you.
Right.
I always do.
Absolutely.
Thank your listeners for everything. I have mentioned you on my show several times.
Well, thank you.
Thanking you.
My pleasure. I will
sometime.
Yeah, I will do my darndest to do that Sunday. I will let you know. All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All
have
right.
a good one, Raleigh.
You
good
too.
Night.
Bye. All right. So we got Isaac, and we got Chris, and Eduardo, and David, and Ruth, and, you know, not too much more than a half hour. So I'll stop right now on WGN Radio.
Just to hold your hand, I love you when I don't understand. You've got the makings of a lover, and when you walk, all the fellas start to talk and say you're fine, and that your soul's sublime. I love you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and if you're from East L.A. or love that music, well, you know the festivals. They're a Dallas group. They're on Smash. Later, Jerry Ross produced some of their stuff at Smash, and then on Colossus. They were on Colossus for a while. But you got the makings of a lover. Jerry wasn't involved with that. And, listening to it, nobody was, actually. But Mayor Hawthorne, who I think is just terrific, heard the record in a record store, I think in New York, but had never heard it before. Yeah, because he's young and from Detroit and all that, and thought it was just so good that he decided to remake it with good quality. And, you know, it came out really well. from an EP, Impressions. It's got five or six things on it. About 2011, he put that out. And actually, this was the star on it, as far as I'm concerned. This was the one you needed to hear. We'll do the news. We'll get back to it right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Jan and Arnie. Yes, that was a request. And yeah, along with others. And I think it was Jack in St. Charles, but I'm not 100%. I should look at that. Yeah, it was Jack in St. Charles. So now we've fulfilled Johnny Otis and Jenny Lee, who have nothing in common. Well, I'm not sure about that, actually. All right, so 888-876-5593. Isaac on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio. We're going to talk about medical tourism.
Yes. So last night we were talking about the lady I follow on Instagram who went to Turkey for, now she says that it was a, entire body exam. They checked, she says they checked everything on her body and, it was cheaper than she could get done here in America. And so she comes back and she says that she has astigmatism in her left eye. And we discussed how that wasn't that big of a deal last night.
Exactly.
She also said that she has a herniated disc in her neck. And I say, how is it that here in America, she's been walking around with a herniated disc in her neck, and nobody, she said she went to five different specialists here in America, and nobody, all of them, I say, you must have been going to voodoo and witch doctors, because those are not medical specialists. Like, who? How did all of them miss her having a herniated disc in her neck?
Well, especially when she was complaining of the pain, because it's possible to have a herniated disc without knowing it if there's no pain. So if it doesn't press on the nerves, you know, or the rupture might open away from the nerves. And so that would not be discovered unless you were doing something else diagnostic, but, you know, like an MRI for another reason. You know, unless the doctors ordered a study, they wouldn't know. And the question is, why didn't they? And, yeah. You know, that's something we really can't parse on the phone, because we don't have all the information. We don't know what kind of insurance she has, number one, and if it's any type of an HMO, that they may absolutely kind of preclude that for quite a while. You know, so we don't know what the deal is. And but
she owns a very successful business out in Philadelphia.
All right,
but it reminds me of I think it was Jim yesterday who called in and said that the retina doctor said, well, your pain behind your eyes has nothing, you know. So I think that I know, but I think in her case, I would never put it past anybody, but you know how you were talking to the guy last night that's going through the legal problems.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't know, talking to doctors is not always easy. And sometimes people don't know how to advocate for themselves and how to, you know, defend themselves in a doctor's office.
And also when they're not getting answers, how to go further. Now, it's a double-edged edged sword on this, because there are times you can, like a whole body scan, there are people who would say, don't do that. For one thing, you can uncover a lot of things that otherwise are not a problem for you, and you wind up over-treating things that could not be bothering you. And sometimes that can get you in worse dutch than if you did nothing. There's also times while it's while it's not accurate as well, but assuming even it's accurate, not everything that's discovered should be treated. But herniated discs are weird for a lot of reasons, and it can be difficult. But the fact that nobody in the litany of people she mentioned decided to investigate it further, yeah, you would think that normally she would have a say in this. And if you're saying that she's wealthy and probably doesn't have budget insurance, then she probably didn't advocate for herself.
I initially, when she was going over there, I really had a lot of hesitation for her, because when I hear about Turkey, in terms of medical, I hear people, I don't know if you're familiar with what a BBL is, what a Brazilian, like, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Yes, like yes, 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 yes.
Hair
yes.
transplant. Yeah. And that they put them back on the plane to come back
right.
to America.
Right.
Still wrapped up.
Right.
And so I'm like, Turkey of all places?
Well,
you
know, there's a lot of it. India is very big for this.
In medical tourism, really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. India is huge in medical tourism. And Turkey is big, too. So is Singapore, Malaysia. You know, there are several places. But in the top 10, I believe that Turkey is definitely on the list. You know, Canada's
wow.
there, too, because even though people are always complaining about Canadian health care, well, that's if you're in their system. If you actually want to pay for it out of pocket, you can do very mm-hmm. well there. But like I say, Japan, Spain, I think I mentioned
okay,
that.
I can see Japan. I can see Canada.
Yeah, United Kingdom, of course, Dubai. Abu Dhabi, and like I say, India is huge, just huge.
When she eventually showed us the hospital, I'll be honest, I didn't, you know, it's no different from like a hospital here on the south side of Chicago. I thought it was going to be, but
well, remember, this is not meant for the public in Turkey. You do understand this.
What do you mean?
What I mean is these medical tourism locations are not meant for the local residents who are sick.
Yes. That's because I've heard of Turkish people coming here
well, yeah,
trying to get medical.
Right.
So what do you mean you're going there? That's what was going through
well,
my
yes,
head.
But they absolutely will have private. These are private clinics in all cases. And
okay.
so, you know, you kind of can pick one, and there'll be a bit difference in prices and all that. And, you know, they'll give you a lot of literature and stuff. You can look it over and decide whether, you know, you think this is something you want to do. But they're, you know, Turkey's really rising in medical tourism because it's cheaper than a lot of places. And
it's
also,
cheaper, yeah.
Also, though, they combine it with a vacation. So, you know, it's culturally rich. It's historic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all that. And, you know, it also, even in their standard medical care, it's fairly well-developed system. So they've got medical professionals. They probably can hire the staffs and all that would be, you know, of the kind of quality you would expect. And so
she recorded when she would sit down with the doctor. I don't know if it's legal or not, but she would record what the doctor was saying. And so we got to hear what he was saying. And I don't know if it was lost in translation, because she did need a translator, even though the doctor spoke English.
Right.
But they would say, well, this is a real thing that they talked about. They were like, did you have COVID at one time? And she said, yeah, it almost killed me. And he was like, yeah, I see in your lungs that you
right.
have scarring for COVID. But, you know, blah, 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 not that big of a deal. And it's like, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean? Like, he kept saying blah, blah, blah. Like,
well, yeah, no, like, that actually makes a certain amount of sense. Because, like I say, when you're doing the whole body scans, there's so many things that you will see that do not require expounding on it or much. You know, it's just like, okay, mm-hmm. this is there. Next, you know, mm-hmm. it's not going to impact her. And there's nothing that they can do probably to improve it. So that's, you know, it's blah, blah, blah. We're moving on, you know. But when they see something that needs to be treated, they hopefully will call it to your attention. But, you know, a lot of plastic surgery in these places, some dialysis in these places. Now, also things that aren't widely done here, some stem cell procedures, things like that, you know.
Oh, wow.
But all the cosmetic things like dentistry or, like I say, or plastic surgery or all that kind of stuff. But but sure. Now, you know, we can talk about the better or worse cases of it, you know, in terms of what happens if they're not carrying malpractice. And a lot of the case, they don't, you know, and like you say, you're put on a plane to go back, even if it's a week later. I mean, you're out of touch. So these are.
And the thing, Raleigh, is as well, she's going to get the diagnosis there, but then she's coming back here to treat it.
Well, of course. So
I was saying to her that, you know, because just looking up all of this stuff, I'm like, America, we have some of the best hospitals in the world here.
Right.
How is it that you're leaving to go to Turkey? But I thought she brought up a good point that she, for a lot of places, she had to wait. She had a long wait time. They couldn't see her because, like I talked about, the Mayo.
Oh no, forget Mayo.
Get in there.
Mayo can be. Yeah, Mayo can be an absolute disaster.
Johns Hopkins.
Yes, Cleveland Clinic and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there may be, but there would be people. And when you're talking about herniated discs and stuff, it's not bad to. I'm not saying to use adjustments, but it's not bad to consult a good chiropractor to find out what their opinion of, because they know skeletal. You know, so there's a lot of things she could have done here. But if you look at the brochures and all that, you know, for health tourism, and they make it sound very appealing. And for many people, it is. You know, would I do it? No. But
No, I would never. Yeah, I would never.
That's right. I just absolutely not. But, you know, people do. And it's certainly money saving as far as that. But
back to that thing with the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I get what you're saying about it, but it's also a point where even though it's not anything to worry about, I would still like to hear what's going on. Like, what, you know, especially since I've come
right, but
this
she
far
could have asked. Right, she could have asked.
And she did not.
Right.
And that's why I said, listen, Raleigh, she said that they came back and she was over medicated here in America.
Probably.
And that they put her on, she said that she had low iron and that she has low vitamin D, which again is
which,
very common,
by the way,
vitamin D.
Pretty much everybody does. And then
you also
have a very big argument.
Me too, yeah.
The biggest argument is what is an acceptable level, because the levels that are considered acceptable in this country are still frightfully low.
Mm. Well, so, she says that here in America, they told her that she was vitamin D, but she did not take the pills for the vitamin D. And I'm like, okay,
well,
so what are you?
Yeah, by the way, if you're taking that, you've got to take K2 as well. You know, the thing is, people need to understand that just because their vitamins are quote-unquote natural doesn't mean that they're harmless. And they also operate differently in the body. And for instance, with D, you've got to have that K2 or the body will not metabolize the D.
Will the doctor prescribe K2?
Well, most doctors won't even prescribe D. Most won't. They'll just tell you to take supplements or whatever. But there are many things. There's a supplement 80K that gives you A as well. You want to watch A because it's not necessarily benign. You know, C, I don't care how much C you take, your body's going to excrete it. You know, and that's not going to be a problem. But when you're talking about things like A, no, your body can. It's fairly easy to look up. D and K2 to find out the ratio.
Well, speaking of her medical thing, I'm going to say this and get off the phone. Since I've been running for, you know, I have not started back running. I'm still trying to get over my leg situation. But since I've been running, before, I think I told you I was pre-diabetic and had high cholesterol. I've lost 30 pounds now. I'm no longer pre-diabetic, no longer at high cholesterol.
Good
the other day,
you.
I met with a doctor, and she initially thought that I had low iron and anemia, and I have not been eating red meat since I started this whole thing. And so she was saying that she thinks that that might have a huge part to play in it. I started eating more leafy greens and salads, and so I went and had my blood tested last week, and I met with them yesterday, and she said that she's not going to put me on an iron pill.
Good.
She thinks that it was just a fluke.
This is great news, but you're a testament to the fact that garbage in, garbage out. What you eat is
exactly
so important, and of
everyone
course
everyone was telling her that in the comment section. And everyone was.
It's 100% right. People who refuse to go on a diet, a proper diet, and refuse to exercise, they want the magic pill, and I don't care what the pill deal is it's not going to work nearly as well as eating well, sleeping well, and exercising. And like, for instance, when I say you need to take vitamin K with vitamin D, it's not only about how it, quote unquote, metabolizes. People think, well, I just won't use that much of it. No, it can lead to calcium buildup in your arteries. There can be like real problems with this. So people who are, you know, just suddenly, oh, I got to go out and get a D3 supplement, or just downing it without K2, you can get calcium deposits. And, you know, it's easy to find this information if you just, you know, today with the internet, my God, everybody's online to some degree. You can, you should read about it. But yes, she's responsible for this as far as that goes.
You know? There's so many people in her comment section saying just that exactly.
Yeah.
That you can't go over to Turkey, get all this information, and then come back and keep putting garbage in your mouth.
That's right.
That, you know what I mean?
That's right. So,
but other than that, Raleigh, that's all I wanted to call.
I'm so glad you called. It's always good to talk to you. You too. Thanks. All right. So I'm not going to play another bumper. I want to try to get through everybody if we can in the waning moments. We'll see what we can do right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, as I say, it's just a few minutes. We're going to try to get through everybody. We'll see how we do. Apologies for the fact that I'm asking you not to be long-winded. God knows I always am. Laura and Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I'll make very quickly. I wanted to tell everybody, if they're paying too much for their TV service, they have got to get Friendly TV. I went from $100 and some a bill to this channel, which is anywhere from $6 to $10 a month. And oh my gosh, it's got the old TV, Leave It to Beaver, Gunsmoke. There's criminal channels. There's history channels.
Okay.
There's Seinfeld. I mean, you name it. It's wonderful. You could watch it on your phone, your TV, your tablet. So I just recommend it highly. If you want to save some money, consider it.
Absolutely. There's a number of services like it. They're not the only player in this game. The thing you will not get for the $10 or under $10 is you're not going to get your local channel. So, but there's ways to do that as well. And with other services. Friendly is FRNDLY. TV.com. And but if you look, you'll see the world is open and cord cutters save a fortune. Thanks.
Great. Thanks for the information on local. You're right.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, right. Yeah. And we'll talk about that when we have more time because, you can add that too. And it's not terribly expensive, but you got to shop around and you got to stay on them. All right. We'll get to that. Eduardo in Tampa's got a Johnny Carson question. All right. What's up?
Yeah, Raleigh, Daily Mail has some nice photos of Johnny Carson's 110 listing here, a hidden arboretum.
Arboretum?
Yeah, okay. I mispronounced that.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Thank you for doing that for me. Yeah, yeah, very nice. Yeah, so.
All right.
If you win the lottery, you can get something like that.
Well, there you are. Okay,
yeah.
Good deal. So thanks.
Okay, got a Bucks game Sunday, so have a good weekend, everyone.
Okay, bye, too. So yes, it's a feature within the estate that he did own. It was an indoor arboretum pavilion, don't you know? And meanwhile, his granddaughter gets nothing. All right, Chris in Greenwood, welcome back to WGN Radio. You didn't call Randy.
I didn't call Randy.
Yeah, we were in the first hour. I had Randy on for a full hour, and I even said, I'm surprised Chris from Greenwood hasn't called.
Oh, I fell asleep.
Oh, well.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, but I'll listen to it on the replay on the internet.
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
And I saw Misery today in the theaters.
Okay.
You know that Stephen King movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what got me into loving movies, is seeing Misery back in 2000.
Okay. Well, good deal. We'll talk to you later. Thanks. All right. So, yeah, I'm sorry that Chris missed it. I really was expecting he would call in. David in Muskegon, welcome back to WGN Radio. Nope, no David in Muskegon. Oh, I could have spent more time with Chris, I guess. I don't think that Ruth and Gurney is still here, but you never know. So, Ruth, are you still with us? No. All right. So, wow, well, that was quicker than I knew. I guess I didn't have to rush everybody off. So, but that gives me so much time to go through the wonderful, and I do mean wonderful, stories that that Bob in Master Control sends. And, if we didn't... If we didn't nauseate you with Pop-Tarts, there's much more. Now, we do have, as I was saying, the 50 things to get rid of around your house. And my house is a little different, so maybe these aren't mine. And we did mention clothes that you haven't worn in over a year. I don't know about that. But then we get into expired spices. You know, on dried spices, does it really matter? All right. Mismatched Tupperware lids. Come on, you're not doing that, are you? Chipped mugs or plates. Yeah, now I love this. Utensils that you have duplicates of. Of right. I hate ending a sentence in a proposition right there, so of which you have duplicates, but never mind that. All right, here is the deal. Isn't a fork and a knife a utensil? Don't you want duplicates and triplicates and quadruplicates and quintuplicates? Don't you want a lot of them? Well, then appliances you haven't used in years. Yeah, well, you know, you're expecting a problem, so you keep the bread machine, but whatever. Cookbooks you never open. Takeout menus, all online. Freebie water bottles? No. Stained dish towels? Broken or dull knives? No, no. Then they have the junk drawer with the dead batteries. You're not doing that, are you? Pens that no longer work? Random chargers you don't recognize? And they say, just throw them out. No. The minute you throw out that charger, you will, in fact, find what it went to. So probably don't keep it in the kitchen, but you know, be careful on what you throw out there. Outdated business cards, old recipes, old keys you can't identify. You know, I had the key project here. We had about 250 keys. We couldn't, and not an exaggeration, that we couldn't identify. And we had to go through them all. And, of course, most of them, you still can't identify them, so you do throw them out. But we managed to find keys to everything but one thing, all right? One thing has a lock, and we might have to cut it off. It may come to that. But other than that, we have keys to everything. So I went out, and I color-coded them, you know, with little tops and all that kind of stuff, and put them on chains based on what location they were in and all this kind of stuff. And I felt immeasurably relieved. But, you know, for the amount of keys I have that I have no idea, nor do I care. Other than this one. And so, in fact, John said the other day, you know, when the weather gets cooler, let's take the rest of the keys out and, in fact, see if we can finally... It's the tuning box at the AM transmitter, if that means anything to you. And if not, trust me, you need to be able to get into this, but not often, clearly, as the fact that we cannot find a key for it anywhere. But we will. Random screws or hardware? Oh, I'm good at this. I have little mason jars for everything. So all of I'm great with that kind of stuff. Yeah, I've got 40 or 50 of them all lined up. Yeah, but not normal. I know. But now empty bottles of shampoo. All right, is there anybody doing that? And on a worn out toothbrush. Yeah, I don't want to start. What products you tried once but didn't like? No, throw it out. All right. Tomorrow night's a replay of Monday Night Trivia. There is a straggler. You may want to listen. Monday night is the next live show. If I do not spontaneously combust, we will play trivia at 10 p.m. Monday night. So until then, that's a wrap. Thanks to Bob. Thanks to John. Thanks to you. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.